Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. This is program number 461. If you'd like to have a copy of it after hearing it so that you can replay it, Sharon will tell you how at the end of the program. But you must tell us whether you want a CD or an audio tape. They're both free, including the postage and handling. We have some real great scriptures. We've got some good letters, really good letters that I have never solicited at all. I love the letters, but I don't solicit them. And I think they're the best letters that I've ever heard. They really are.
Mm-hmm.
That I've ever heard. And I've known a lot of big name people that they just never have received letters like this. And we have a lot of scriptures, and we've got songs. But right now, let's go to the throne of the Lord and ask him to anoint this service. Father, we thank and praise your holy name for the Word. The Word, you are the Word. The Bible states that we are to preach you the Word. And it says that the Word created everything, which is you, Jesus. And then in the New Testament, it tells that there isn't anything that was made that was not made by you, the Son of God. You, the body, the human body, was not God, but the Spirit in him was God. And was actually the first begotten from the dead, the first of the body. He's the you are the head, Jesus, of the body, and we, those of us that are filled with you, because we're the temple, even though we're dirt, even though we are dirt, you're living in us. Your body was dirt at one time, but the Spirit that was in you was the Spirit of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Lord, if that same Spirit, you said, is in us at the time of our death, that the same Spirit that was in you was in us, that we will also be raised from the dead. The Spirit. I've actually witnessed the Spirit of people going upward into the kingdom of heaven. And I know that that's exactly what happens. And so therefore, Lord, we pray that the people of the world, out in the world, will receive this gospel, the Word, and that the church will also receive it, because they have not endured sound doctrine. They have not tolerated sound doctrine. They're saying today, Father, that we should forgive sin, when your scripture, your word tells us, your Jesus tells us, that we cannot forgive sin. And therefore, the whole body, almost the entire body of Christ, has gone the way of the Antichrist, because the Word is God, not their interpretation. That holy men of God were moved by the Holy Spirit, and there's no private interpretation of the Word, but they were moved by the Holy Spirit and wrote exactly what you told them, your word. So there is no private interpretation. We're not allowed to make up what the word is. If people sin, only God can forgive sin. And when people say that we're sinners, Father, when they say we're sinners and we're one with you, then they're liars. And I hear so many quote Christians, unquote, saying that they're still sinners. How could they be sinners if they're your body? How could they be sinners if they are now called the sons of God? Lord, they did not endure or tolerate sound doctrine, but they have been swerved by listening to these false prophets. They're polyparroting what they say. And I pray, Father God, that you'll get a hold of these rascals and cause them to go to your word and receive it the way it is, and not to interpret their own way, because there is no private interpretation of your word. It means exactly what it says. Now, Lord, because of these kind of people, the people of the world are saying that I don't have enough love in my ministry. Lord, love is the keeping of your word, the keeping of your commandments. And they're the ones that don't love. They're the ones that have gone astray. They have not endured or tolerated sound doctrine. But we ask that, Lord, that they will begin doing that, and they'll receive this message from the Holy Spirit. Elsewise, they will spend eternity grinding their teeth and gnashing on their, grinding, chewing on their tongue for pain and swimming in the lake of fire forever, screaming their fool heads off. Lord, I ask it in Jesus' name, and souls be saved in Jesus' name, and everyone says amen. And when I say in Jesus' name, I mean in the name of the word. What they've done, Father, is they've taken the word of God in vain. They hear it, but for vanity. It's just they change it. They are committing horrible sins. And Lord, stop them in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. And everybody says amen.
Amen.
All right. And so right now, we have Ralph Carmichael, the London Symphony Orchestra and Choir, to play for you and sing for you Amazing Power, Amazing Grace. Grace means power. All right.
Save the wretched.
And it's amazing power, amazing reason that our spirits are going to live forever. Those of us that are born again of the Spirit, and also those that are not born again of the Spirit, their soul is going to go on forever, burning in the lake of fire. And you know, people, I love to meditate on the Word of God, and that is like so amazing that it's unbelievable that the flesh, we're living in it's a body, it's like a tent, and this tent is going to dissolve one of these days. Tents are fragile, they don't last forever, but the spirit inside this tent, if it is united or mingled with the Spirit of the Lord, it's going to go on to live forever in paradise, in the kingdom of heaven, forever and ever and ever. And if it is not, it goes down into the fiery pits of hell and then is cast into the lake of fire at the end. And the way that we get into the kingdom of heaven is to honor the Son. The Son is the Word of God. And 2 Timothy 4, chapter 4, verses 2 through 4, commands those of us who have been not only called but chosen to preach the Word. In other words, preach Jesus. Jesus Christ is the Word of God. And it says, be instant with the Word of God, in season and out of season. And with this word, we're to reprove people. Because, you know, the whole world, almost all of Christianity that I can see, needs strong reproving, because the way of life is we need to just keep preaching the Word of God. It's a consistent thing, and we need to reprove. The reproof of the Word of God is the way to eternal life in heaven. And we have to rebuke some people that, and most of the Christian world needs to be rebuked, because what they've done is they've departed from the Word of God, from Christ. It says, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long suffering. That doesn't mean that we have to suffer sinfulness, but it means that we have to continue doing it and never get tired of rebuking, reproving, and exhorting with all long-suffering and with doctrine, which is Christ's doctrine. And then it talks about these end times. For the time will come when they... And this is the church, supposed to be Church of God, and it is the Church of God. Well, they will not tolerate. They absolutely hate preaching hellfire and brimstone, and they keep saying God loves you. They just say it to everybody, even to the devils. And they say, because they're not tolerating, or they're not enduring sound doctrine. For the time shall come when they will not endure or tolerate sound doctrine, but after their own lusts. Now, a lot of people say, well, you know, I hear this panel of supposed to be pastors. It says, ask the pastor. And some of the things they say are just obnoxious to me. Feel like I just wish that they would learn the scriptures. I have no doubt that I'll ever be asked to be on that program, because there's so many of them that have so much sin on their souls, and that's why they don't endure or tolerate sound doctrine. They will not tolerate, endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts. Because you'll see people say, well, we have to forgive, because their whole congregations have seen them sin, and their whole congregations have seen them sin so bad that they have to make up some false doctrine like, oh, we're supposed to always forgive one another. Well, what about if a pastor goes astray? What should we do about that? Well, you have to forgive him. You have to forgive him. If you see him committing adultery or fornication, or if you see them, if they get caught stealing or lying or anything, you have to forgive them. This is not sound doctrine. No one can forgive sin but the Lord.
Amen.
But God. Amen?
Amen.
So the time has come that they don't endure or tolerate sound doctrine. They don't tolerate the Word of God. They hate it. And in order to keep their positions as pastors in these fake, phony, unscriptural, undoctrinal, unspiritual churches, they have to twist the word to make themselves comfortable in the church. And they know that a lot of their congregations, because of them, have gone a-whoring after fornication, all kinds of sin, every kind of adultery. And they even laugh about it. Now, you people out there, I know you, you know, having relationships with your neighbor's wife, and they all kind of snicker and laugh like, that's supposed to be a joke? That's so far from the solid, no-nonsense Word of God that it's nauseating to me. So they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts, they're going to go to the church. If they're drunkards, they're going to go to a church that tolerates not sound doctrine, but a church that tolerates drunkenness. If they are given to sex, illicit sex, like homosexuality, lesbianism, fornication, or adultery, they're going to go to that kind of a church, a pastor that they know is involved in lust. And, you know, before I was saved, I could tell when somebody was scoping out the girls and scoping out women and other people's wives. You can just tell it. And so they dress up very nicely and with a look of meekness on their faces. Instead of shame, they go to that church because that pastor tolerates sin and does not tolerate the Word of God. He does not endure it. But they do not endure or tolerate God's Word. So that sound doctrine is the Word of God, the no-nonsense Word of God. Only God can forgive sins. When it says we have to forgive one another of offenses, in other words, if I do something like say something bad about you that isn't true, well then, you know, and you come to me and say that wasn't true, and you made a mistake with it, you can forgive them for that. And we have to forgive such things 70 times 7. But we can't forgive adultery and fornication, and we are not able to forgive homosexuality. We can, if they get saved, we can let them come into the church. But on no other circumstances. If they don't receive sound doctrine, even the large churches today that are turned into cults because they've united themselves with the Roman Catholic cult, we're to just shake our tennis shoes or sandals or whatever, the dust off them and depart and not even wish them Godspeed. Now this is the real true doctrine of the Lord. And if you see somebody that hates their brother or sister and they're like making up false stories about them or undermining them in some way, you know, those are evil people that have evil spirits in them. And they never ask for forgiveness. But after their own lusts, they shall heap up teachers to themselves. Teachers, they're having itchy ears. We gotta go to a church that okays adultery, fornication, lust in our soul. And even you can tell a person that has these lusts in them because of the way they look. I can tell, and I'm like legally blind. Legally blind doesn't mean that you're stone blind, but you can look at somebody and tell. I know I can because I've always been good out in the world before I was saved at selling things, and you have to have a certain amount of ability to look into somebody's eyes to tell if they're interested in what you're selling or not. Because if they're not, you just want to say, well, okay, think it over and we'll go, because I don't want to waste time on somebody that I won't be able to sell. And so we have some, you know, top salesmen have the ability to be able to tell whether people are interested or not. I've run into many salespeople that make really rash decisions. Like, for instance, I went into a Cadillac dealer when I used to be in the record business, and I had a briefcase full of about $100,000 at that time. I was going to the bank, and the bank told me that I was banking more money than General Motors at the time in their bank in New York. And so I went into the showroom and got into the car that I liked in the showroom, and I looked younger than my age. I looked like I was about maybe 18 or something like that. The guy came over saying, "Get out of that car." And I said, "What for?" "I want to buy it." And he says, "Get out of there. You can't afford that." And so I said, I opened up my briefcase and showed him stacks of $100 bills that we took in on the 20 original hits that I started. And that method of selling records was never done that way before in history. And then I got tired of it, and so I quit. So KTEL copied me, KTEL Records out of Canada. And now Warner Brothers is copying me. Okay, but now, because of the fact that they own Reprise Records and Warner Brothers, they have a lot of their own masters, so they can sell 150 or 2,000 masters at one time for, you know, whatever they're charging for them. But I just came out with 20 of them, and I made a fortune at it. And it took a long time for them to catch on to how lucrative it was. Then everybody came running. All right, so these, they heap to themselves teachers. You know, we teach here at the, what do you teach? What do you teach about adultery? They'll come and say, "Well, we just forgive people if they do that, so come into my flock and commit adultery with all the women here and we'll forgive you." "Oh, yes," an adulterer will say, "that's the church for me." And so they go in there. "What about fornication?" "Well, you know, the Lord says to forgive." "What about homosexuals?" "Well, you know, the Lord just loves them." "No, he doesn't. Can't you read the Bible as an example? He burnt them up."
Amen.
"Amen. He hates that sin." "Well, he doesn't hate the homosexual, but he hates the sin." "Well, he burned them all up, you know, so I guess he hated this homosexual and their sin." Amen.
Amen.
"Why? Because they didn't repent of it." And you pastors out there that are teaching that garbage, that they say, "Well, I'm a homosexual, so I'll go to this guy's church because they'll forgive me if I, you know, play somebody in this church." In this cult is what it is. It's like the Catholic cult. You know, we just forgive homosexuality. And why not? We can't be hypocrites. The Pope is a homosexual. And so we have to forgive, don't we? Even though it's not sound doctrine, though, Governor. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
It's not sound doctrine. So, you know, teachers, they heap to yourselves teachers having itching ears. Your ears just itch to hear the right kind of church to go to. Well, but don't you want to go to Tony's church? He preaches, the Bible says that if we sin, we're going to hell. You're going to get hell, fire, and brimstone. "Oh, no, 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 that's not, you know, that's too sound. We can't endure sound doctrine, but we have itching ears, and we have lusts. We have, but after our own lust, we shall heap to ourselves teachers that teach us what we want to hear, not what the truth is, but teachers that teach us what we want to hear, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth. The truth that says, if you commit these things, we're not going to forgive them because I can't. The Bible forbids me to do that, okay? And I shake the dust of my feet in your face and in your ears. And I'm not even going to wish you Godspeed, all right? Because God is a no-nonsense God, and you're going to find out the book of Revelation tells of the great white throne judgment. And that's where you're going, you false teachers, you false preachers. So they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Well, what are some of the fables? Well, let's enjoy everyday life. Let's tour around. Many of these preachers say, well, how are you not... T.G. Jake says, well, how are you going to know New York unless you go to the nightclubs, unless you go to the Broadway shows, unless you go to the different places in New York? How are you going to know all these things? How are you going to know New York unless you go into the whorehouses? Check it out, man. Or take some of the peddling of the drugs on the streets. When I went to New York, just before I went to Europe and Israel, man, I couldn't walk down the street without being hit with people trying to sell me drugs. And I told them, no, you know, you're going to go to hell for that. Get out of here. No, they've already been told by their pastors that that'll all be forgiven you because Jesus is a forgiving God. Well, what does it say when Jesus said that you people are of your father the devil? And how can you escape hell? Huh? Isn't that something why they would do that and say that, huh?
Yes.
Amen. Well, also in Matthew 24, 14 through 30, it says, for the kingdom of heaven is as a man, meaning Christ, traveling into a far country. He went into the kingdom of heaven after he resurrected from the dead. But before that, during all this time, he's still calling his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. It's like if I open churches in Israel and in Chicago and I say, okay, you take that one. I believe you're a Christian. And I believe that you're capable of taking over this church. But I'm still the pastor. And Jesus is saying, I'm still God. All right? So I'm leaving my churches with you, my goods. I'm leaving the word with you so that you can preach the word, the sound doctrine. And unto one, he gave five talents. In other words, possibly five churches. To another, two churches, and to another one, one. And to another, one church. Or whatever he gives you. Right? But he gives it to us to use it as he, according to his word. He doesn't leave something to you to just run amok with it, would you say? Mm-hmm. Wouldn't you say that this is the truth?
Amen.
Okay, so, and to every man according to his ability. I mean, if somebody is really a on-fire person, like, and knows the word, they study it. Now, Buster is, he knows the word. He's studying it more and more all the time. But he doesn't know exactly what to do in every instance in to have a church of his own and to run it, you know, exactly by the Spirit. he walks by the Spirit, and he is of the Spirit, but he's a novice. And novices are not to teach, because if they do, they're going to fall into the same condemnation as the devil. And so he gave him all these abilities, and the Buster has an ability, and I always tell him that he can really talk, and that he's going to be a, if time goes on, he'll be a pastor and a teacher. And straightway, so they give him these abilities, and straightway took his journey, he went to heaven. Then he that had received the five talents went and traded with the same. In other words, he went out and preached the gospel the same way Jesus did, and made them another five talents. So he expanded the churches to five more. And likewise, he that had received two, he also gained another two. But he that had received one went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money, in other words, the word, because he was afraid, really, to preach it, because he was afraid that he would be rejected by the people in his church, and that he'd wind up just having a few people in his congregation. He didn't want to preach hellfire and brimstone. He didn't want to teach the straight and narrow path into the kingdom of heaven. And after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh. He reckoneth with them. And verse 20, and so he that had received five talents came and brought another five talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me five talents, or five churches. Behold, I have gained beside them five talents more. So the Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, and I will make thee a ruler over many things. Well, it's like you tell people to take care, like the church may get an apartment house, for instance, and you give one of these servants and their husband, you give them that to take care of. But, you know, the people in the apartment house may say, why, we need our drains are plugged up, the toilet won't flush, the stove doesn't work, the refrigerator doesn't work, and they just shine them on. And then there's cigarette butts and everything outside, and it becomes like a ghetto, the filthy and dirty. And people are putting their spare tires out on the porches, and they're not even collecting the rents. And the bookkeeping system is not that which the master has taught. And it's so confusing that you can't even keep the books. Well, but this kind of a rule that rules well, everything that the Lord tells you to do, to the minutest detail, because he that is faithful in much, in little, shall be faithful in that which is much. And a person that's not faithful in little, like I give in my ministry different properties for people to take care of, and if they don't, I do it for the reason that I'm looking for somebody that I can send to different cities to open churches and run them. And it's very hard. It's very hard because they have itchy ears and they swerve from the truth. They don't believe that scripture. The scriptures that I just read are these. So the Lord says, I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Verse 22, he also that had received two talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me two talents. Behold, I have gained two other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, the Lord Jesus, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, like an apartment house, a church, the house where you're living. You never turn things into a ghetto. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then verse 24. Then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee, that thou art a hard man. In other words, he has, right, God is very good, and he's merciful that he forgives all your former filthy sins. But his words are true. I just read how the word of God is true. Amen.
Amen.
2 Timothy 4, verses 2 and 4. But these people don't endure sound doctrine. That you're a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown. Well, the Lord already sowed the seed, the word of God, and so this weasel is saying that the Lord is a hard man. The Lord says, no, my burden is easy and light. Amen?
Amen.
So you just have to do what I say. And you gathered where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. No, lo, there thou hast that is thine. In other words, here's the one talent you gave me. I didn't do anything with it. I didn't multiply it or anything. The Lord hates losers like that. They don't use the word to reap more souls. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant. There's some people that don't even hide the talent. What they do is they hide it and then they let the whole apartment house go. It's overrun with cockroaches and mice, and they say, can we move? We want to get out of here because we're being overrun by cockroaches. You know, you people are like that. You're the most disgusting, wretched people that I know, because anybody, you're supposed to be a warrior. And if you let a cockroach overcome you, or a mouse, you're the biggest nothing I ever saw in my life. Amen?
Amen.
And you make me want to puke. Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gathered where I have not strawed. Thou thoughtest therefore to have put my money. It's my money, the Lord says. Amen?
Amen.
It's my talents that I gave you. What do you mean I didn't sow? Or that I didn't give you some? I lent you money. I lent you talents. I gave you churches and all my goods. I left you with my goods. What do you mean? I was a good Lord to you because I started you out in business. And you let it go down the toilet is what you did. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers. You should have got a bunch of brothers and sisters together and sent them out to witness and testify on the streets. Especially after doing it for so many years, now the Lord has me bringing messages, and I have to study to do that, and I have to stay in the house! And I can't take care of apartment house and then support you. And I can't take care of you if you're not going to be taking care of the Lord's business. Does that make sense?
Yes. Amen.
You should have went to the exchangers. And then at my coming, I should have received mine own, which was my own. It wasn't yours. I gave it to you to do something with. Amen?
Amen.
I gave you salvation for you to do what sound doctrine says you're supposed to do. You're not supposed to go around saying, well, we forgive you, brother, if you're a homosexual, or you filthy, rotten people that call yourselves pastors. You're not enduring. You're not tolerating sound doctrine. So the Lord says, I should have received mine own. My own, it's mine, with usury. Take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. Because him that unto everyone that has, in other words, that has my word and goes out and wins souls and expands my work here on earth, shall be given. This is sound doctrine, kids. Amen?
Amen.
And he shall have abundance, the one that rules according to my word. But from him that hath not shall be taken away, even that which he has. Now, and the Lord Jesus, the one that says he, all these phonies are saying he forgives, how come he doesn't forgive this one? He says, now cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and grinding of teeth. Why doesn't Jesus forgive them, huh? If he's a forgiving Jesus. No, he throws them out into hell, amen?
Amen.
Where else do you grind your teeth, amen?
Amen.
Where else do you chew on your tongue? Where else is the fire? No, he doesn't forgive a bastard, a fatherless child, somebody that doesn't do what the Lord says for them to do, what he commands for them to do. What he does is he throws them out into outer darkness, into the netherworld, and there shall be weeping. They're always going to weep eternally, and grinding of their rotten, filthy teeth. Well, if God does that to them, I don't have any mercy for people that preach the word the wrong way. What? That suffer adultery, fornication, homosexuality without telling them, warning them. Because if people don't hear, how will they know? Amen?
Amen?
And if they don't know, how will they be saved? How can people repent of sin if they don't know what sin is? And these churches are saying, no, we're all sinners. We're all... No, we're not. Okay,
Amen.
That's you. You stinking weasel. That isn't me. All right?
Amen.
I'm not sinning. And then there's people that have issue with what I do. In other words, get the Webster's Dictionary. In other words, they're saying that the Bible says that to be seducing spirits in the last days, forbidding marriage. When the Bible says, let the young women marry. Amen?
Amen.
Now, now they're trying to make it look like Tony is preaching that young girls are supposed to get married when they reach puberty. I put that out myself. And they're saying, listen to tape number so-and-so, as though I'm supposed to be ashamed of preaching the word of God. God, you miserable wretches, hurry up, get to the point of puberty. Puberty, when a person should marry, is at puberty. Not 18 years old. I mean, if they want to wait, if they never want to get married, that's all right, too, because that's in the Bible as well. Amen?
Amen.
There's eunuchs, and that's fine if God calls you to be a eunuch. But if you've reached puberty, it's fine to go ahead. Did you find it?
Yes.
Okay, let's read it here.
1. The state or quality of being first capable of begetting or bearing offspring.
Okay, when a woman reaches puberty, she can have offspring. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, that's puberty, when you can have offspring. So why should you, if you reach, say, 12 or 14 years old, the way that most pioneers used to get married? Amen?
Amen.
Why should he wait until 18? That's some people, that's half of your life. Okay?
Amen.
Pretty soon you're going to be so old that you can't even take care of kids. They run around and everything. You don't have the energy to run after them. Amen?
Amen.
But the Lord says to get married, let the young women marry. And once they reach puberty, they're not girls anymore. And they're not babies like this phony news media says. But what they don't do is they don't come down on these, what they're doing is approving babies in school to have fornication, which is a horrible sin. But to them, letting young people have sexual relationships in school, that's just fine with the devil. Okay, because fornicators are going to go to hell, and so they want all the kids to go to hell. But they don't want them to marry when they reach puberty. Now, these girls and boys are having sex at 6 and 7 and 8 years old in school, and the stinking schools run by the Catholics. The public school system is run by Catholicism, by the Antichrist. And they let them have sex in the school and even furnish condoms and also birth control pills and all these things, because some of them reach puberty at about 10 or 11. And they just furnish everything for them. But let somebody at 12, 13, 14 years old that reach puberty get married, oh, we're going to send you to prison for 50 years, senor. You devils. You are the seducing devils that the Lord spoke about, that the Apostle Paul spoke about, that would be occurring here in these last days. Amen?
Amen.
You are the seducing spirits. And then you are also seducing, allowing these supposed to be priests, these Antichrist priests, Catholic priests, seducing little 5, 6, 7-year-old boys. And what they do is they catapult them out of the country over to Rome and Argentina and places like that to protect them, because they're our own. But you never see them going to court. What they do is they're getting all the government money, the money that is from our taxes, and they're paying these kids enormous. They say they're paying them $500 million and all this stuff. Well, they don't give anybody else the opportunity to do that. And why are they putting, like, people that love each other and they want to get married and they're 14 and 19 years old? It's just like grandma and our great-grandmother. She used to be married at even 12. And in the Bible, Rebecca was married at 11. And also Mary, the mother of Jesus, was married to Joseph. They never consummated the marriage because she didn't reach puberty, but when she did, she became pregnant by God. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so they are accusing him now of statutory rape, and they're going to put him in prison for the rest of God's life. You puffed up pieces of dirt. That's all you are, with breath in you that's going to be going into hell. You don't teach sound doctrine, you Catholic. The Lord calls you pigs, Catholic pigs. Calls you dogs and pigs. And if any of you were saved and you agree with it, then you're like dogs that have gone back to your vomit, and pigs that have gone back to the wallowing in the mire. Sows. Not male pigs, but sows. Even if you're a male, you're not. You're a sow, a female pig. Okay, some more on puberty.
Which is marked by maturing of the reproductive organs with the onset of menstruation in the female and the development of the secondary sex characters in both sexes. The period at which sexual maturity is reached. The age of puberty varies in different climates and environments, being from 13 to 16 in boys and from 11 to 14 in girls.
Well, that's when Rebecca reached puberty, amen?
Amen.
And that's where most people that are real strong students of the Bible say that Mary was married before she ever reached 11, way before she reached puberty, and Joseph never had anything to do with her because he was married to other wives and he had other children. Okay? And so when she reached puberty, he was going to consummate the marriage, in other words, have sex with her. And he found that she was already pregnant. And who was the culprit? The Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And these unholy bunch of bastards are condemning the holy, eternal, almighty, living God for having done that. And then the devil accused her of having sex out of wedlock when the Bible plainly tells us that this was the miracle, a supernatural miracle, that a virgin shall conceive and bear a man, and that this man would be the Messiah. Amen?
Amen.
Keep going. We got one more minute.
And is commonly designated legally as 14 for boys and 12 for girls.
Okay, so I've written a piece of literature called Legally Married at 12, or at puberty. I changed it because it varies. In the hot countries where it's, the sun is always beating down, like Africa and Israel. Now, in Israel, they allow four women to be married to one man. The Muslims allow as many wives as you can handle. Okay? And they can be just whenever they reach puberty. Okay? And that's why I'm preaching this, is because I preach to Muslims. And it's in the Bible. And if they know the Bible better than you people here in the United States do. And I wouldn't be able to win a Muslim if I... They ask, do you believe in polygamy? And I say, well, if it's, you know, it, you don't, yeah, I believe that it's okay to have other wives if it's done in by the order of God. And they say, well, do you believe it's all right to marry a woman when she reaches puberty? And a man can marry when he reaches puberty? And I say, yes. And I don't care what people say about it. I preach the Bible. If any of you bastards out there take issue with it, well, you know, I just have nothing to say. In other words, your doctrine is more important than God's doctrine, right? I know that you are so haywire that God is going to come down if you don't repent of saying that the Word of God is false. You're blaspheming the Holy Spirit. And there's people saying, oh, he's saying this and that. Yes, what I'm saying is from the Bible, okay?
Amen.
And if you people don't receive that, don't call yourself Christians, okay?
Amen.
Because you've swerved from the truth. You have not endured sound doctrine. You have not tolerated, you will not tolerate sound doctrine. But you hate this because you're homosexual. And you don't want men and women to be married. You're jealous. You're evil. You're a seducing evil spirit. Well, the time is up. And I make no apologies for the Word of God. I'm not ashamed of the Word of God, because it's the power of God unto salvation to those who believe. If you don't believe it, you're going to hell. Okay? You better repent. I mean sound doctrine. So, right now is the time to be saved. Open up your heart, open your spirit, and ask the Lord to come in. And he will. He'll give you a new spirit, and he'll enter into that spirit. Say to the Lord, my Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe the Word of God is true. It is the only truth we have in the universe. And we have to receive it in order to go to heaven. We have to receive the word, which is Jesus. Amen?
Amen?
In order to go to heaven. All right, so, Lord, I open the door of my heart, and I invite you into my heart. Lord Jesus, wash all the filthy sins, my former sins away, in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Forgive my unbelief, Lord. Give me faith to believe your word. Hallelujah. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. I know, because your word says so. Your word says you won't turn anyone away that receives you, the word. Therefore, I know that you have heard me, and I know that you have answered me, and I know that I'm saved. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. Now, Sharon, tell them how to receive a copy of program number 461, 461.
Go to alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas, 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370. That's 479-782-7370, or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
Praise the Lord. The Bible says that all power belongs to Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
All wisdom and power belongs to Jesus. That means there's no other power in the world, in the universe, or no other wisdom. And so here's Ralph Carmichael with the London Symphony Orchestra and Choir to sing All Hail the Power.